Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line with us for this Friday afternoon to take a look at the futures markets is Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, gray skies and 52 degrees here. We'd like you to be a little bit sunnier and a lot warmer. How's it there?
Just turned nicer. We've had about a week of pretty blah weather. Same thing, 40s, 50s, spitting rain. And today, first sunny day, and we're going to probably get close to 65. That extremely hot weather that's on our doorstep that's going to be hitting the hard red wheat belt this weekend looks to be in play, because we have definitely seen a change and we're getting away from the northwest flows now. We're getting a lot better southerly flow. I think we're going to be close to 90 by Sunday when the folks out there in Salina, Kansas and Hutchinson, Kansas are hitting 96, 97 degrees.
This is one of those times where it's hot, but it's a dry heat doesn't work really well for you because you really need the moisture, I think, in your area, don't you?
Yeah, we still do now. We did get a real nice rain. I think the producers will really start to pick up a lot of their pace this weekend. I'm going to be taking some drives this weekend, Todd, to see. We did get some done on some of the terracing that didn't get as much rain. But, yeah, I think we're in pretty ideal conditions now. Once we warm up, we'll probably get a lot planted.
That would be for the corn and the soybean crop there. But for the hard red winter wheat crop, remains in ugly condition.
Yeah, you know, we're probably still about 2 to 3 hours east of the hard red crop. But what I'm picking up from clients and contacts and what was talked about on that hard red wheat tour is that that 260 million bushel estimate that came out of the tour could be half if we don't get rains that are needed pretty much right now. And then, you know, they pretty much made that clear when they did their estimates that they were, you know, looking at fields that should make 33, 35 bushels. But if hot, dry weather hits, they talked about that being a third and maybe even a half of that. So this is one of those years where technically today on a weekly close, you lost some key moving averages. The 40-day moving average in Dease corn, we went below for the first time since February 3rd, and we lost our 20-day moving average as well in the Dow Jones UBS Grain Index. So I put an email out to the clients right after the close. Let's do another 10% hedge on both corn and beans for 2014, but let's stick with paper because of what's going on in the Ukraine and what you and I have been just talking about with the hard red wheat. This could be another 1996-type market because that's the lowest production number we've seen since 1996 for the hard red wheat on that tour.
It is a very low number. On the monthly charts, the hard red winter wheat, I think, was up, what, 47 and a quarter cents. So it charged sharply higher. And then on our weekly, which would include the end of the month, so this you don't just add this on, it's just a different one, but July hard red was up 42 and a quarter. So it has been reacting.
Yeah, and that's compared to only 7 or 7.5 cents higher in the soft red wheat. And Dease corn got hit the hardest, down 12 and 3 quarters on the week. That's 2.5% lower. You can see where the micro fundamentals really played a role in this trade, especially once we got to midweek. And I think once the weather started to open up temperature-wise for your part of the country, the trade started talking about, again, really big corn acres, really big yield. And so we saw the hard red, soft red spread really kick in. We talked about that on Commodity Week last week. We saw the wheat corn spread kick in really nicely yesterday and today. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean it's bearish for the corn. In fact, in that same email, I wrote to clients, look, we've got a crop report next Friday. I want to keep the hedges on through next Friday's report, but this could be the May break in the corn that really is kind of a dip buying opportunity for the feed hedgers in the livestock sector. And I say that because wheat tends to lead that corn. And if we make a low in the wheat like we have, you tend to make a low 20 to 30 days afterwards in the corn. I would see the same thing when it comes to the highs when, you know, coming down the road here. Once we make that hard red high, we make a soft red high, 20 to 30 days later, we get a corn high in place, not unlike what we saw in 2011.
And what are your expectations for USDA next week? That WASDE number will be the first time USDA officially will drop out some figures for the 2014 or the harvested crop coming this fall.
I would be surprised if they don't kick up the corn acreage a little bit now that we'll probably be back on track. As of Friday of next week, you know, we probably won't see getting caught quite all the way up on Monday's report, but if we have a wide open weather pattern on Friday of this next week and we get the report out, I would think they'd have to inch up the planted acres for corn a little bit, because certainly anecdotally, producers in your area and on east, except for Ohio, and as you get even into Iowa now, you're starting to hear a lot more good news coming out of the corn planting and a lot of excitement about getting more corn acres in.
Do you think they will really put that many more acres of corn in? Because they didn't really change very much in our part of the world.
No, they didn't. But I think nationally, when you look at that prevent plant number and you look at the fact that we had some extra CRP acres, I still think there's probably 2.5 million acres that could pretty easily be pushed into the corn number. I guess I feel like the bean number is about as high as we can get it, especially with the idea that the people out in the hard red wheat country are suggesting right now that if they don't get the rain, they're not going to tear up the wheat and try and plant sorghum or some oil seed like soybeans. They're just going to leave it be. They're not even going to try and plant anything because they just cause a lot more erosion. And I think this is where it's going to be hard to see more double crop beans at this stage of the game coming from someplace.
What were the primary fundamental factors for the soybean market for the week?
I think we started off with the excitement or the fear of the bullish potential in May meal, because we're going to delivery on Wednesday, and we had meal $50 to $60 over a ton in the cash market in the interior versus what the Chicago May futures was. So I think the market was very excited about potentially bullish meal breakout on first notice day on Wednesday, and we had investment flows coming in, and that all came abruptly to a halt when we turned the calendar to May. And so then I think we went back to trading more of the supply side fundamentals. Argentina's government jumped their production by 1 million tons for soybeans this week. No one really dialed that in until we got to Thursday. So I think we went from the demand side fundamentals of meal back to the supply side fundamentals of soybeans by the time we got to the end of the week.
Hey, let me turn your attention to the livestock numbers. Feeder cattle for the week in the May contract, they gapped higher, up $3.50 on the weekly trade, finished at $183.50. That's a big number.
Yeah, it is. We talked about this on Commodity Week. You know, Ellen had made the point of another move up in the cattle, and I think that's exactly right, but I'm nervous that this is the place to start selling, and I'm really extra nervous that the wholesale market seemed to really weaken. The box beef prices seemed to weaken. I think this may be one of the last opportunities for a strong move up in the cattle, mainly because, again, instead of looking at supply tightness, the trade may start to look at consumption and demand weakness. And I'm a little bit nervous about grilling season. I'm very nervous about livestock producers having to fight weakening wholesale prices and rising grain prices. So I want to get that hedge on the grain in place before the end of the month.
You don't think we'd come out and gap lower next week and stay there, do you?
I don't think that would be likely, Todd, but I think you got to go back to the Russian-Ukrainian situation. It could be friendly for the feed grains and negative for the pork and for the beef, because it could really screw up our meat trade, and it could really keep a big percentage of corn stocked in there in the Black Sea. I mean, what I've told clients today is you could see Ukrainian corn being planted today, but by pollination, it's Russian corn. That's really what we're talking about here, and you don't want to get caught up in that if the market's not bullish the demand side, especially given gasoline prices and the retail price of meat right now. At least get one side of your hedge locked in.
Well, hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again next Friday.
My pleasure. You all do a great job there. Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much. That is Mike Zuzalo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas, joins us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.